Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. You are listening to the only radio show that asserts the constitutional solution in getting the general government back, or the federal government, back into the framework of the Constitution as they were originally intended. So the number to call in if you have questions or you want to talk about Republic Review, Reclaiming the Republic, and so forth, that number is 215-867-8255. That's also 215-TOP-TALK for those who need a little help in remembering. As I said, this show is the only show on air, but this show is also dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protect their citizens from federal tyranny. A part of this show is also dedicated, or this show is equally dedicated, to those grassroots leaders, the employers of those candidates and elected public officials. What this means is that these people, these citizens, these patriots that are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny means that they are also willing to protect all of us. Because as I say, if you stand up against the monster or the Leviathan, Goliath, whatever you want to do for a metaphor here, that means that they are standing up for all of us against that monster. Today's show, I've got a great excerpt from a Reverend, I think, Stillman. And I've also got a quote from Samuel Adams out of the Massachusetts ratification debates. And with that, if you want to call in, again, I ask the three C's. I ask you to abide by these three C's. First, if you know me, please be confidential. And don't mention my name. I go by GR on the show here. And please be civil and also be concise. I also want to point out the importance of that presentation that I have that you can find on reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you go to the Take Action page, you'll be able to find that link underneath the two PDF slides of my presentations. There's a link there to YouTube, and that will take you to that presentation. If you have not watched it yet, and the numbers are racking up, so I presume some of you have watched that. I don't get a lot of bad reviews on that. It's not about reviews either, but the fact is that you can't refute what I'm saying. You can't refute the fact that in almost every capacity of things that the federal government is doing, it is a violation of the Constitution. And so the only way to get the federal government back into that framework is, I don't want to use the term force, like going to war type of force, but the states do have the advantage and the states do have the leverage in being able to apply a level of force onto their representatives, both the Senate and Congress, to getting them to comply in putting the Supreme Court, the federal government, and all the bureaucracies back into check and where they belong. So if you, again, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, that's also where you can find my podcast as well. And so by all means, send this link out. It's hard for me to understand why this one particular video or this one, the first 30 minutes of this is not a viral video on YouTube, especially amongst patriots, patriot social media, and so forth. So anyway, let me do a little groveling as well before I really get started. I would implore you, if you have time, if you have resources, a phone, a computer, and so forth, software that can do basic computing, Word, Excel, those types of things, then you can help if you want. I have things I need done, and I would love to have people help in getting engaged. So by all means, for those of you that want to get involved in saving the Constitution of the Republic, just hit me up with an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. As always, I did take a glance through the news agencies, and I actually looked out my window, and I could not find any sign, any hide nor hair, of the federal government willingly stepping back and getting rid of any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Why do I do this? Because it's important that if I'm going to play my show today, I do not want to be the one that's not reporting, hey, the federal government has acknowledged the fact, because today there were a couple of things that were acknowledged, I think, by the federal government. And not one of them acknowledges the fact that they've overstepped their bounds, that they're well outside their jurisdiction, they're violating the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. And so what we have to do is we have to make them get back into the framework, because they're not going to willingly do it. Why? I mean, they're getting away with doing all the things that they're doing, spending our money into oblivion. They're basically bankrupting us in many ways, both financially and morally. And so why would they want to do what they're supposed to do when they so far haven't had to? I mean, they haven't had to for well over 150 years. And so it is our responsibility, it is every patriot's responsibility to step up and hold their federal government accountable, hold their elected public servants accountable. They're called public servants for a reason. They're to serve us. And so it is time that we do our job or it won't get done and we won't have a republic and a constitution down the road. If you've listened to the show, and this show is growing, so I might as well repeat some of this stuff, I will tell you that if you listen to the show, we have probably, I'm going to guess, somewhere between 2 to 5 years before enough of these dolts coming out of the national education system will be able to finally be able to vote and throw away their liberties because we don't deserve them and the government knows better than we do of what we need to do because that's what they've been taught. And we allow that education to still exist today. And the only way we can actually start taking back this republic, the only way we're going to get it in a position where they find, you know, America and the republic starts having some level of remorse, repentance, whatever you want to call it, in making amends, is by stepping in and shutting these things down. Because it is going to be a tough row to hoe if we don't, the sooner we do this, the better. They made a huge mess, and the only people that can clean it up, unfortunately, is the states. Let me also point out that we've got the Red Pill Expo, the 21st and the 23rd of this month, June, because we are in June. And if you go to the redpillexpo.org, look at, check it out. I mean, you can probably get an exhibitor's pass for the 3 days, VIP pass, whatever it is you're looking and wanting to do, there you go. I would highly recommend coming on out. Good chance you'll probably see me there, and I'm looking forward to meeting every single one of you. In the news, we have a SCOTUS ruling, and apparently SCOTUS is overturned by a unanimous decision. Oh no, that's a different ruling. The SCOTUS overturned by a majority decision, the baker in Colorado who refused to bake a cake. So I wonder if this is going to roll down to the Oregon case as well. Is that actually going to step in and say, hey, they don't have any jurisdiction, they don't have any right of squelching your religious expression, however you choose to do that. You are not forced and you cannot be compelled to this standard. This is huge because this is somewhat accurate. What they failed to mention is that the government, both the federal government and the state government, have no jurisdiction in enforcing and compelling anybody from expressing or not expressing their religious convictions. And so the 14th Amendment protects everyone, even if you're a business, a sole proprietor, or what have you, of being able to express one's religious or have one's religious expressions. Therefore, I'm kind of glad that they made the ruling the way they did. But again, they keep on failing to point out the grand scheme of the constitutional boundaries that they can't be doing this. They can't be forcing homosexual marriage upon church clergy. They can't be forcing homosexual adoption upon religious adoption agencies and so forth. These organizations have a constitutional right of their expression of standing up and saying, no, we have a principle. We do not believe that this is good. This is an abomination or what have you. And so, and I don't mean Obama's nation. I mean an abomination as a really bad thing. Anyway, as I'm looking at the other decision, that other decision that came out was a unanimous decision. And that was the decision on whether or not an undocumented teen in U.S. custody could get an abortion. So basically, they unanimously spanked a inferior court who basically ruled against Trump's administration saying she's going to be able to do this. And therefore, it would have given carte blanche an open door for illegal aliens to just come here, get abortions, and get health care and so forth. And I don't think the Supreme Court was ready to open those doors yet. At least I don't think that they have enough progressives to do that. But it is a matter of time before they actually do get that prevailing thought into that bench. And we're not supposed to be taken to and fro by that bench. That bench is limited to what is within the Constitution. And you already know that, but you also know that I'm up at a hard break. So I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And again, the email to contact me would be info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I wanted to get into a conversation that I had. I actually had a good conversation with a North Dakotan and started talking about Republicanism. And, you know, I've been going on about how counties have lost their representation. And it may not be a problem. And as I was talking to this fine patriot, they didn't perceive necessarily the problem with why counties, because North Dakota is divided into legislative districts. They have counties, but they don't have a chair for a county. They have chairs for the legislative district, which is where their central committee is. And that's where they kind of manage everybody from the legislative district down. And that's fine. But the problem is that that basically forces counties to fight for their representation. Now, again, in North Dakota, that's not really a problem because they have maybe less of an issue of disparate interest between some counties and other counties and so forth. But the day's coming when within one county to the next, as they do fracking and as they do other energy extractions and so forth, that they may have different interests. And so a county that's not doing that, that may be getting either affected by it or wanting to do something completely different and getting the time because maybe not as much money is involved, they won't have that representation in their state legislature to represent them in the Senate as well as in the legislative representative body. The reason the Constitution has a Republican form guarantee is that you are supposed to be represented in your county, just like states. If you understand, the state has a guarantee of one representative, and the state also has a guarantee of two senators. If you look at the counties are supposed to have a guarantee of a representative and a senator. Now, typically, they don't have two senators in the counties. Most all states, you know, have one for every area, and whether that be legislative district or what have you. And so that's kind of how they do it in lots of states, is they gerrymander based on the population to ensure that the population centers get a lot more representation than the rest of the state. However, if you force the issue and you make every county get their representation by the Senate, then every representative in the Senate represents only their county, and they all have equal influence or affluence in votes and representation within that body or that legislative body. And if you look at the representatives of the people, each county is supposed to have a minimum of one. And as I was explaining to this gentleman, this good patriot, that would literally, if we started forcing the Republican form of government, it would change California to where California is not going to drag us down, where good states like North Dakota may have to pay for bailing it out. And, well, it's unconstitutional that that would occur, but they've been doing all sorts of things, and there's nothing to say that the federal government, you know, because spending your money is like nothing, and there's nothing to keep them from using your money, the purse of the public, to bail out Illinois and all these other places. And so we're better off fixing these things by using the Constitution to get these things fixed. And so I'm trying to convince a lot of good patriots everywhere to start looking at stepping up and saying, hey, we've got to do this. We've got to force California to get into a Republican form of government. Every state is not there. And even though some states it's not a big problem, it can be a problem. And we don't want it to be a problem dragging us down financially because some states have such a problem with it that they're spending themselves into oblivion. I mean, California, not that this is news, but I've read 50% of California citizens want to or are planning to move out of California soon. What a mass exodus. You know how many 50% is? How many millions of people that would be? And where would they go? North Dakota? Anyway, the point is that that would create a huge vacuum out of California where it would not have the revenues. All of a sudden, it won't have the same people that they have right now to kick around and tax and spend their money. So what are they going to do? All of a sudden, they won't be able to pay their checks and won't be able to, you know, do the things that they need to. They'll be foreclosed on. The federal government will have to bail them out. Force these guys now. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Republican form of government, as well as state constitutional conventions, are two mechanisms to force this or to put pressure upon both the states and their representatives in Congress to getting Congress to do their job. So anyway, I'm hoping that between now and November, in working with a lot of these different chairs and so forth in North Dakota, South Dakota, and so forth, I am hoping to be able to, you know, provide you a list of supporters for both these two good states, Wyoming, Utah, who knows, maybe other states like Oklahoma. We will see. But I will tell you that next week, it'll be coming up to the primary. And the reason I'm talking about endorsements and why it's important before the primary is due to the fact that the primary is where you have the opportunity to unseat or to push out that rhino by a challenger, or that status quo person by a challenger, or a progressive, may not even be a rhino, maybe even further to the left, and somebody that we need to get rid of. And so the whole push for me is to try to get these good challengers that are willing to commit to, you know, sign a pledge like Chad Christensen did, and basically get them to step up, and we will help them send small little contributions or whatever we possibly can to get these guys across the finish line like we did with Chad Christensen. So Salt Lake, their primary is on the 26th, so next Tuesday is the day I hope to have at least one or two endorsements. Doesn't look like it, because in all honesty, I've just not been able to have the bandwidth, because I need more help in getting people to call and getting people to say, hey, will you sign this commitment? Because I'm running out of time, and I can grovel some more if you want to listen to me. Please, please, please help. I need people to be able to make calls. And if you're one of those people that take rejection well, like I do, then, you know, this is nothing big. You just call somebody up, and if they hang up on you, they yell at you, okay. So you don't have to tell your mom. It's okay. You know, people, so sometimes you catch people on a bad day. You just can't personalize that type of stuff. So anyway, one of the things I kind of wrapped up on last week was the Massachusetts overview on Friday, and who Elbridge Gary or Jerry was. And so the intent was to get into some citations. I'm really low on time. So what I'm going to do is what I always do before this, and I like to, you know, set a contrast between me and this show and all of those self-acclaimed front benchers. Let them call me a backbencher. I don't care. At least I'm empowering you, because I truly believe knowledge is power. And if I empower you with accurate knowledge, there's nobody that can refute anything that you say, especially when you're speaking from founding documents. So with that, I want to basically reiterate and ask you this one question to ponder when I'm reading these things. Are the words in our founding documents that I'm going to read and cite today, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we've been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, are the words that they've been offering the words of deceit? to me, it is a no-brainer. We have been lied to. They've pulled the wool over our eyes. They've misrepresented everything. And it all started with some, what I consider some good people, like John Marshall. I don't think John Marshall was evil, but what he did had consequences, and those consequences were evil consequences because it is they created the footings for unconstitutional government to be built upon these rulings of his. Because all he was supposed to do was make a ruling, but his opinions ended up sliding out of the box into some unconstitutional concept called case law and precedents, which does not exist in the Constitution for the Supreme Court. With that, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right into the Massachusetts debates. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I do have a lot to read, but I was just pinged by a listener and wanted to know if I was still doing something on the sale of my books. Yes. If you buy my books, if you're looking to buy my books for your father, for yourself, for Father's Day, whatever, if you buy them from MobiusStripPress.com and I get your name and information via the PayPal process, then I will be happy to sign and send you a very personal message with both of my books. So anyway, yes, you can still do that with that. And if you missed Friday, because I know that Friday is typically a down day in listening,
if you missed Friday, I gave a really good overview as to what was kind of happening in contrast to, you know, some of the other debates and so forth. And it's good to know. It's kind of good to see at the macro view what was kind of happening regarding the differences between the ratification debates. General Brooks of Lincoln made this comment in the Massachusetts debates, and he said, "It was therefore," he said, "impossible that the state governments should be annihilated by the general government, and it was," he said, "strongly implied from the part of the section under debate which gave Congress power to exercise exclusive jurisdiction over the federal town that they should have no other place." So when Congress comes out with an act, when Congress comes out with, let's say, the Civil Rights Act, or whether it was the Sedition Act, they have full legislation, and those acts are applicable in Washington, D.C., because they have exclusive jurisdiction of legislative powers over the seat of government. But that is it. The only way anything is applicable to the Republic and every state in the Union is by for Congress to pass an amendment to the Constitution to give them the power and jurisdiction of those types of things, such as health care, such as energy, such as education, so forth and so on and so forth. And so what we're dealing with, and when we look at all of these acts and all of these things that they're doing, they're taking their exclusive legislative jurisdiction that they only have over Washington, D.C., the 10 nautical mile square that used to be there. I think Virginia took their property back. But technically, they still have legislative exclusion over those, you know, that 10 nautical mile square. And so that is the only place where they can exercise legislative or create laws, acts, and so forth that are valid. Any other place, such as the Sedition Act in any state, that is, it, those are unconstitutional, so they're not valid. They're null and void. And Jefferson pointed that out. But Samuel Adams made a comment, and he said right after, this was the, I think the following day after John Hancock kind of reeled everybody back in, and he says, "Your Excellency's first proposition is that it be explicitly declared." Now, so you got to remember, they're kind of winding down the debates here, and John Hancock said, "Hey, we've got to, you know, make some explicit declaration that those things that aren't," because there was this belief of ambiguity that if it's not in the contract, then maybe Congress would start usurping it. They know that it is a natural trend for government to creep and go beyond its boundaries. And so they wanted to make sure that there was this exclusivity in the Bill of Rights, an amendment that they wanted to propose. And so he said that it is explicitly declared that all powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states to be by them exercised. This appears to my mind to be a summary of a Bill of Rights, which gentlemen are anxious to obtain. It removes a doubt from which have entered or which have entertained respecting the matter, and gives assurance that if any law made by the federal government shall be extended beyond the power granted by the proposed Constitution and inconsistent with the Constitution of this state, it will be an error and adjudged by the courts of law to be void. It is consonant with the second article in the present Confederation that each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right which is not by this Confederation expressly delegated to the United States and Congress assembled. I have long considered the watchfulness of the people over the conduct of their rulers the strongest guard against encroachments of power, and I hope the people of this country will always be watchful, said Samuel Adams. Now, here's an interesting gentleman that kind of piped up, because this was really towards the end as well. And this is Reverend Mr. Stillman. And he's obviously not a delegate that went to the Independence Hall to, you know, to work on the Constitution during the convention. He's literally just a delegate listening and representing his people in his county. And so he basically kind of repeats what one person had said, and he says, "The powers that are granted to Congress by this instrument are great and extensive, but sir, they are defined and limited, and in my judgment, sufficiently checked, which I shall prove before I sit down. These powers have been subject of long and ingenious debate, but the arguments that have made use of against delegating these powers to the general government prove too much being applicable to all delegated power. I mean, the possible abuse of it. The very term government implies a supreme controlling power, somewhere a power to coerce whenever coercion shall be necessary, of which necessity government must be the judge. This is admitted. If so, the power may be abused. Every gentleman must confess that we cannot give a power to do good, but it may be abused to do evil. If a merchant commits the care of a ship and cargo to the master, he may dispose of both the appropriate and appropriate the money to his own use. If we raise a body of men and put arms in their hands for our defense, they may turn against us and destroy us. All these things prove, however, that in order to guard as much as possible against the abuse of those powers we delegate to government, there ought to be sufficient checks on them. Every precaution should be used to secure the liberties of the people on the one hand and not render government inefficient on the other. I believe, sir, such security is provided in this Constitution. If not, no consideration shall induce me to give my voice in its favor, but the people are secured by the following circumstances." And now he kind of goes through this list of circumstances, and he says, first, all of the offices in Congress are elective, not hereditary, because remember, they had a monarchy and so forth. The president and senators are to be chosen by the interposition of the legislatures of the several states, who are the representatives and guardians of the people whose honor and interest will lead them in all human probability to have good men placed in government. Second, the representatives in Congress are to be chosen every second year by the people of the several states. Consequently, it lies with the people themselves to say who shall represent them. It will then be their own fault if they do not choose the best men in their commonwealth. Who are Congress then? They are ourselves, the men of our own choice, in whom we can confide, whose interest is inseparably connected with our own. Why is it then the gentlemen speak of Congress as some foreign body, as a set of men who will seek every opportunity to enslave us? Such insinuations are repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution. But a worthy gentleman from Middleborough has told us that though they may be good men when chosen, they may be corrupt. They may so. Nor is it the power of angels or men to prevent it. But should this be the case, the Constitution has made provisions for such an event. When it happens, we shall know what method to adopt in order to bring them to punishment. In all governments where offices are elective, there have been and will always be the competition of interest. They are those who are in office wish to keep in. They who are out want to get in. The probable consequences of which will be. And I ran out of time on this. Well, I'm going to pick up Mr. Stillman's, Reverend Stillman's arguments for the Constitution when we get right back after word from our sponsors. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so one of the things I wanted to point out is if you listen to some of these arguments that Mr. Stillman's using, you will find that things changed via the sliding away from the constitutional principles. So the next point that he goes into, and I just... because we've only got one more segment, and I did want to get through these. He basically says that every 2 years, there's going to be some level of a revolution replacing these bad actors with good actors. One of the things I also want to point out is that if you go through this this debate, you'll find that one of the biggest problems Massachusetts had was that they wanted to be able to elect their congressman on a yearly basis. And I know I mentioned this Friday, I believe, where it would literally be forcing congressmen, or I should say the people's representatives, to be perpetually campaigning. I mean, it would just be one perpetual campaign. Hi, can I have your vote? Hi, can I have your vote? Every year. And so I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing, but it would not allow them to really focus in doing the work they need to do. I honestly like to see, I like the two-year thing, and I'd also like to see far more civil involvement by the local county chairs to basically start, and I've said this before, that the central committees need to be sending shots across the bow of everybody who is wearing their label or their brand and saying, look,
We expect you to do these things and basically tell them what they need to be doing. And if they don't do those things, then you reject them for the endorsement in 2 years when they come and ask you for that. That's what has to start happening. We got to stop just giving away. Just because you're an incumbent, we're not going to run somebody against you. We're already prepared. Every 2 years at the beginning of a term, you need to start getting ready to replace whoever's in Congress and whoever's in your legislative body, because there's no guarantee that they will be a good actor. And just because they're an incumbent or a name or what have you is a crappy excuse for keeping them in office. So moving on, Stillman goes into this thing that says, and this I think will jump out at you. He says, Congress can make no laws that will oppress the people, which will not equally involve themselves in the oppression. Well, so we have already learned that Congress has been doing that. They've been making very oppressive laws with health care, but they exclude themselves. And so there's been talk about doing an amendment to ensure that every law Congress passes is applied to them equally. What possible motive can then Congress have to abuse their power? Can any man suppose that they would not so lost of their the loss of their own interest as to abuse their power, knowing at the same time that they equally involved themselves in difficulty? It is most improbable supposition. This would be like a man's cutting his nose off to spite his face. I place this, sir, among the securities of liberty of my fellow citizens and rejoice in it. So apparently that got lost. Fifth, the Congress grant guarantee. Okay, I like this one here. He says, fifth, Congress's guarantee to every state in the union a Republican form of government and engage to protect them from all foreign and domestic enemies. That is, as it has been justly observed by the honorable gentleman, Mr. Adams, near me, of known and tried abilities as a politician, each state shall choose such Republican form of government as they please, and Congress solemnly engage themselves to protect it from every kind of violence, whether of faction at home or enemies abroad. This is an admirable security of the people at large. And you've heard me. I just talked about the Republican form of government and how it has been lost in that basic essence. So anyway, this is an admirable security of the people at large, as well as the several governments of the states. Consequently, the general government cannot swallow up the local governments, as some gentlemen have suggested. Their existence is dependent on each other and must stand or fall together. Should Congress ever attempt the destruction of the particular legislatures, they would be in the same predicament with Samson, who overthrew the house in which the Philistines were making sport at his expense. They killed them, he killed indeed, but he buried himself in the ruins. Sixth, another check in favor of the people in this, that the Constitution provides for the impeachment, trial, and punishment of every officer in Congress. Unfortunately, we don't get a chance to do that because they have their own ethics committees. And so this is another way that they've wandered away from that. Who shall be guilty of malconduct with such a prospect? Who will dare to abuse the powers vested in them by the people? Well, those who know that they're going to get away with it. Seventh, having thus considered several of the checks to the powers of Congress, which are interwoven with the Constitution, we will now suppose the worst that can take place in consequence of its adoption. I mean that it shall be found in some of its parts oppressive to the people. Still, we have the dernier resort, or the last resort. It may be amended. It is not, like the laws of Medes and Persians, immutable. The fifth article provides for amendments. It's, in other words, that Article 5 process. It has been said that it will be difficult after its ratification to procure any alterations. By no means, sir, for this weighty reason. It is a general government, and as such, will have a general influence. All the states of the Union will feel the difficulty, and feeling it, will readily concur in adopting the method provided to the Constitution, and having once made the trial experience, will teach us what amendments are necessary. Viewing the Constitution in this light, I stand ready to give my vote for it without any amendments at all. Yet, if the amendments proposed by Your Excellency, which was John Hancock, will tend to conciliation, I readily admit them, not as a condition of acceptance, but as a matter of recommendation only. Knowing that blessed are the peacemakers, I am ready, sir, to submit my life, my liberty, my family, my property, and as far as my vote will go, the interest of my constituents to this general government. After all, this Constitution was as perfect as the sacred volume, as it would not secure the liberties of the people unless they watch their own liberties. I've emphasized this, that the states and we have been sleeping at the wheel. He goes on and says, nothing written on paper will do this. It is therefore necessary that the people should be a watchful, not an overjealous eye on their rulers, and that they should give all due encouragement to our colleges, schools of learning, etc., so that knowledge may be diffused throughout every part of this country. That's what this show is trying to do, folks. I'm trying to give you knowledge and education and power. Ignorance and slavery, knowledge and freedom are inseparably connected. While Americans remain in their present enlightened condition and warmly attached to the cause of liberty, they cannot be enslaved. Should the general government become so lost to all its senses of honor and the freedom of the people as to attempt to slave them, they who are the descendants of a race of men who have dethroned kings would make an American Congress tremble, strip them of their public honors, and reduce them to the lowest state of degradation. And so there you go. That is the reason why we have to understand that the Constitution is simply a contract, that these words I'm reading of these ratification debates are the explanations and their legal appendages to that contract. Whenever you're in the process of negotiating a contract, and these are the words that you all agree upon, that this is what this contract means, then those definitions, elucidations, clarifications, whatever you want to call these words, those are legally binding to the contract. The good fortune that the good Lord had was that He made the Constitution a contract, not some ambiguous noble guide. And in the contract ratification process, He had these good states and these good patriots document everything that they're doing. So we're out of time for the Telestial Stations. And if you stay tuned, we will be back right after I say a fond adieu. So friends, we will be back tomorrow. Of those who are on the airwaves and those who are streaming, stick around. I'll be right back in a couple seconds. And so tomorrow, what we're going to get into is I'm going to have probably a few more quotations out of the Massachusetts ratification debates. And then I'm probably going to get more in. Actually, I do have to cover the, which one was it? There's all of these primaries. I told you I was going to be covering Salt Lake, so Utah. I'm going to be covering the Utah primary endorsement, so I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. And so we will talk about that and get into some more Massachusetts debates tomorrow. And I'm hoping that I am stimulating enough of you to get so adamant and so engaged and involved that you may want to call. If you've got questions on the auditing process and so forth, please let me know tomorrow. I will be right back tomorrow. This is G.R. Mobley, and I'm Reclaiming the Republic with your help. See you tomorrow.